pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to ask now for a moment of silence for the Syosset student who left us way too soon. Thank you. Our thoughts and prayers go out to her family, her teachers, and her friends. Is our high school student here?
What's the matter?
Kids dying.
God.
Good evening, everyone. Last week, on January 3rd, we had our incoming ninth grade orientation at the high school. There was a great turnout, and we hope that parents now have a clear understanding of what to expect as their child enters the high school. Last Friday, January 5th, our winter night of acapella was canceled due to the snowstorm. A rain check will be selected and announced in the near future. This weekend, we have our All-County Music Festival at the Tilley Center, where many of our students will be performing. Coming up on January 25th, we have our Relay for Life kickoff, where we encourage families and friends to get involved with the teams created by students and staff. Taking place during the last week of January is our annual college tour. This year, our students will have an opportunity to tour colleges around and near Rhode Island, such as Brown University, Yale, University of Rhode Island, University of Connecticut, and more. We hope that this helps our younger students gain insight on their future endeavors after high school. Finally, midterms week is coming up at the high school from Monday, January 22nd through Thursday, January 25th. The Friday of that week will be a full regular day of school. Thank you.
Thank you. Is our middle school representative here?
Yep.
Come on up.
So cute.
POBMS certainly had an eventful and engaging end to 2017. At POBMS, Ms. Peterson helped students celebrate computer science by participating in the Hour of Code. Classes came to the library for engaging coding tutorials and activities. Additionally, students were offered the opportunity to participate in one of two coding workshops during ninth period. The goal of the Hour of Code is to get as many students as possible to try coding with the hope that it might inspire an interest in computer science as a field of study. Both middle schools hosted their winter concerts on December 5th and December 11th. Students in chorus, orchestra, and band showcased their talents and efforts for a night of spectacular music and holiday favorites. Right before the winter recess, visitors from the high school chorus ensembles visited the middle schools and shared some sounds of the season. It was a delightful way to close out the year. 2018 has been off to a busy start at the middle schools. Although the new year has just begun, we are already looking ahead to next school year as the 8th graders have started their scheduling process. The 8th grade counselors and Ms. Lynn spoke to some of the classes about what to expect next month. Parents and their children are eagerly planning their 9th grade program. For 7th and 8th graders, midterm week will soon be upon us. Students and teachers have begun to prepare for their exams. On January 12th, Matlin Grandpals will be participating in a program called Artware for Good, in which the students will work with their grandpa to create ceramic tiles. Ms. Kaczynski, one of Matlin's art teachers, will be helping the school design their tiles. Those tiles will be displayed in the school in Uganda. In addition, for every tile we create, Artware for Good will donate one solar light bulb to a Ugandan school. This event was funded with help from Matlin Service Club.
Thank you. Now, we're going to go on to board announcements. Ginger?
Happy New Year, everyone. This was a very busy month for our music department, and for those of you who are lucky enough to attend the concerts all around the schools, it was just mind-boggling. Our high school concert was breathtaking. The students do just such a phenomenal job. They sang a song called Stay With Me, and it's about suicide, which has become a topic that we've been talking a lot about at almost every meeting, and it's something that our kids are trying to grasp. And suicide is something no one can really understand why it happens or anything else, but to sing a song with such passion and meaning was just unbelievable. And it ended the day before the holiday, Friday, with the students going, our choir going from, of course, going to all the elementary buildings, landing up here, singing all the different Christmas songs and holiday songs. And it just put everybody in such a wonderful mood. So to all of the students, you did a phenomenal job. And to our music teachers, wow.
So true. Anybody else? Lauren?
I as a parent, went to the ninth grade incoming parent orientation, like both of our representatives had just spoken about. And I just wanted to thank Mr. Murray and your staff and the administration for such a well-thought-out night. It was an emotional night for a lot of the newbies coming in, and it answered a lot of questions regarding graduation requirements in the time frame, at least, that you had to prepare for. And we're so grateful to all the chairs that took time to explain what was needed. And how each of you insisted that if we had any questions, since it was such an informative night and you only did have so much time, to please call, and everybody just left that open door for all parents. I know I felt it, and I'm sure I will be using it to call everybody and ask the questions that I have. But I just wanted to thank you so much. I know a lot of my son's friends and parents felt the exact same way, that it was just a great, well-thought-out night. I know you tried to get in as much as you can in the time frame that you did. So thank you so much for everybody's help with an emotional but exciting time in our children's lives.
Thank you, Lauren. Seth?
Happy New Year to everyone. I just also wanted to acknowledge our buildings and grounds staff for all of their hard work and hours of efforts, as they always do every year. But, you know, the last Thursday storm was not an easy one, and they clocked in a lot of hours and a lot of hard work. And so I just wanted to thank them and acknowledge them. And I know that we often recognize them, but you can't recognize them too much. So
enough. Thank you.
Too much enough. Or enough.
Enough.
Thank you. Now we're going to go on to superintendent announcements.
I'll be very brief.
Happy New Year to everyone. 2018 is going to be a great year. So we started out, we've only had school for about 2 days, and then we had this snowstorm. It's not an easy bomb cyclone. It's very. This one is an easy one to call for a Thursday. I think just following up on what Seth said, these building and grounds folks came in at 4 a.m. on Thursday morning, and they worked in sub-freezing weather until 6 p.m. that night. Freezing, I mean, and what was going on. As soon as they cleared one area, the wind would blow the snow back. And so, as always, since I've been here anyway, the first snow day, which is May 25th, is our first makeup day. We always declare that day B&G Day. And so the staff is just really, really very nice to them. Because, think about it, it was because that they were out there in the sub-freezing cold that we're able to make up that day on the 25th. So we are very grateful for the what they did. The buildings are in great shape because of what they've done. And think about I just went from a store from my car to return something at a store, and my hands froze, yesterday. So I know that I'm very grateful for what they've done. Last board meeting, we presented a middle school plan and the high school scheduling plan, and we asked us to come back to get input from various people I know that the principal has, Mr. Murray has met with BAC and parents and PTA and curriculum committees, and people have been very thoughtful about their comments, very respectful about their comments. All of that is going to be taken into perspective, and I know that the final plan that will be presented in January 22nd, which is the next board meeting, will be a sound plan that will address all of the issues that we that have emerged. That's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. We are now going to go on to student recognition.
Thank you. I know this is a really exciting evening for our students and their families. They put a lot of work and effort into many of these contests, projects, etc. And I'd like to start the evening off with some very special recipients. And I'd like to ask Lori Lynn and Mr. Murray to come up and recognize our semifinalists in the National Merit Scholarship Competition.
Good evening, everyone. Happy New Year. This is always such a pleasure for me to be here on these nights. It really is a special evening. I'm very happy to discuss our some of our highest achieving students. Every year, the about 1.5 million students take the PSAT in recognition of the highest achievers. National Merit Scholarship Corporation names about 16,000 semifinalists who are then able to continue in the competition for some National Merit Scholarships. So I'm very pleased that this year we have four semifinalists in the National Merit Scholarship Competition. So if they are here, I'd like to call them up. Kevin Huang. Kevin is home studying, clearly.
As he should be.
Ruoxin Liu. With Ru, study group. Matthew Sala. I know you're going to go home and study after this. So. No judgment at all. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Congratulations.
And finally, Alex Stepanski. Part of the same study group.
Okay, Matt, you better get home. Congratulations, Matt. Next, I'd like to invite Ms. Barry up, our Science and Technology Chairperson, although, do I see her? Not yet. Okay, so we're going to move to the art section, presented by Mr. Wiley, our Dr. Wiley, Director of Art and Digital Instruction.
Thanks. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of the wonderful teachers, I'm proud to be here tonight to announce these students. As always, before I begin, I'd like to publicly thank the Central Office Administration, the community, and the Board of Education for their continued support of the arts. First up, our first award recipient of the night. This is only one of 20 students in all of Long Island. It's truly the highest honor an art student can have on Long Island. There are only 20 of them are selected. Michelle Ning was selected as the 2017-18 Long Island Scholar Artist Award winner in the visual arts. Is Michelle here?
Aww.
She's home studying.
Or drawing.
Or working on her artwork.
It's her portfolio.
Let's put these here.
Yeah, probably.
Each year, Huntington Arts Council creates a show. It's called Nightmare on Main Street, and we have many student artists submit artwork for this prestigious show, and only a few are selected each year. So tonight, I'd like to call up the Nightmare on Main Street art exhibition artists, Brandon Forrestein, Princeton Huang,
still home studying,
not here, Olivia Grice, Alyssa Seinfeld-Halbrick, Kubrick. Chiori Nagishi. Oops. Thank you. And Ashley Zhang. Ashley here? Okay, the annual Art Guild of Port Washington's Nassau County High School student juried art competition exhibition artist. Two students were selected this year for this prestigious exhibition. Andrea Heyman. And again, Olivia Grice. And finally, CW Post each year. This is the 14th annual High School Advanced Vision Exhibition Artist. Again, many students submit artwork. Two were chosen this year from POB JFK High School. Caitlin Conroy. And Jordan Schechter. Is Jordan here? All right, congratulations to all these students. And again, thank you, art teachers, if any are here, for all your hard work.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Wiley. Next, I'd like to invite up Eric Karanathian, Director of Business, to present our business awards.
Good evening, everyone. How are you doing? Happy New Year. It's always a pleasure at this time of the year to come and recognize our students for all their hard work and achievements. So with that said, I'm definitely proud of our virtual enterprise firm. Last year was the first year, this year I should say, was the first year we've had virtual enterprise here at POB JFK. And we have two firms, we have two classes. One class is Illuminate, one class is Socket, that's their business plan. And on October 27th, they went to CW Post for the virtual enterprise entrepreneurial conference and presented a elevator pitch for their business plan. Illuminate came in second place overall, first in Nassau County, and the entire class got together to come up with this elevator pitch, so I'm happy to recognize them tonight for all of their hard work. With that said, the students to recognize are Rhea Bindra. Thank you. Carissa Eisinger. Gregory Gentile. Thank you. Zachary Herman. Thank you. Brett Curley. Robin Kim. Jacqueline Kitsis. Jonah Liebman, Joshua Lester, Zane Mokta, Brandon Mintz, Jacqueline Paradiso, Luke Petrosoric. Jason Pollock. Junyuk Roh. Julia Rosen. Zachary Shear. And Callie Shapiro. Last but not least, I'd like to thank Ms. Gina Farrell, who's really taken the initiative in this. She was the one who came up with the idea, and this could not have been done without her either, and under her leadership. So thank you to her as well.
I want to echo those sentiments, because this was a new course that we ran for the very first time. And when we met with LIU and talked to them about this course, they said Ms. Farrell is really leading the way, and for your students to receive this award and this type of recognition first time out speaks volumes about you and the department. Congratulations. I'd like to invite Ms. Carnesi, Social Studies Chairperson, up to present the awards for our outstanding students on our MetMonk conference.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. Okay. Preparation for a conference as large as MetMonk 46 requires a tremendous amount of teamwork and collaboration through all layers of the club. As a result, seniors oftentimes shoulder a great amount of responsibility in ensuring that our two-day conference is the best it possibly can be. This conference, which hosted more than 15 schools and 400 students from across Long Island, ran in large part due to the tremendous efforts by all students involved. The following seniors played an increasingly important role throughout the year to ensure MetMonk 46 was a great success. Tonight, they're recognized for outstanding leadership in the MetMonk 46 conference. Some highlights of that weekend conference was a speaker that were invited by students, Tom Swazi, who's also a member of the Foreign Affairs Committee. So that was enormously impactful for kids and a great celebration of their work. So their advisor, Thomas D. Martinez, wanted me to share some of the outstanding achievements and contributions of these seniors. First, Matthew Wilson, who's the Secretary General. Matt Wilson is someone who gets things done. His superb organizational skills, followed by his unrelenting passion for MetMonk, allowed a club of this size and magnitude to run effectively. Matt always seems to know what the next step was and had an exceptional insight into how to take that step. For a club that starts preparing for a conference in December, in September, that is truly a spectacular feat and one he should be proud of. Tonight we recognize Matthew Wilson. Sophia Mirza, Chief of Staff. Sophia was an integral part of this conference's success. One of the places that Sophia stood out most was during delegate and chair training. Both her academic and club experience over the past 4 years has developed her into an enormously impactful leader. Her knowledge and experience shined during those trainings and is a major reason why our Plainview delegates are often regarded as the best on Long Island. We recognize Sophia Mirza. Kiana Ziakampur, Director General. Kiana was an integral part of the co-presidency of this club. Her calm demeanor and confidence allowed her to quickly become a role model for both new and returning club members. Her exceptional writing skills and editing abilities made way for some of the best background guides ever produced within this club, which in turn led to some of the best well-researched delegates in our committees. Kiana? Jordan Stewart, Material Secretary. In a club of this size, keeping track of all of the materials needed to host a two-day conference can be daunting, to say the least. Jordan Stewart oversaw the purchase of all goods and needed supplies for the conference. From food orders to the folders, pens to notepads, Jordan worked to ensure that the conference not only met expectations, but exceeded them. Tonight, we recognize Jordan. Julia Park, Chair Trainer. The chairs have a tremendous amount of responsibility in a club like this. They are the premier experts on the committee, having researched and written background guides for each of their three topics. On the day of the conference, they oversee all debates, crises, and resolutions within their committee. Julia Park oversaw the training process for our chairs, adding her insights and expertise to every aspect of the process. Without her contribution, we simply would not have lived up to the very high standards set by our former club advisor, Mrs. Robinson. Tonight, we recognize Julia.
Thank you, Ms. Cornesi, and to these students. This was quite the conference, especially with Mr. Swazi. Yeah. Okay, I'd like to invite Mr. Joe Braco, Director of Health and Physical Education, up to the microphone.
Thank you. Before we get started, I just want to tell a story about this young gentleman that we're about to recognize right now. So it was about 4 years ago. I was driving my daughters on Southern Parkway. And as we all know, there's about 8 billion stop signs on Southern Parkway between POB Middle School and Jamaica High School. I'm with my two daughters, keep stopping, and this boy keeps running along the side of my car and keeps passing me every time I get to the stop sign. And I look over, and I'm going, who is that kid? I go to practice the next day, and I ask Coach Pecor, I'm like, I don't know if this kid's on your team, but there was a kid running fast on Southern Parkway, faster than I could actually drive. And he goes, oh, that's Jake. And the person that we are here to talk today about is Jake Myers. In his 4 years here at Plainview, he has been named All-Conference and All-County twice. And this past year, he became the first person in POB history to be crowned Nassau County Champion in boys cross country. He has set school records. But on top of that, he is a well-rounded student because he's also been All-State in NISMA as well. So tonight we'd like to recognize Jake Myers as the first state champion and boys county champion and boys cross country history and all county member. Congratulations. Come on up, Jake.
Okay, congratulations. Is Mr. Yagalov here this evening? Oh, he's hiding over in the corner. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. Hello, everyone. So I am here to present three different awards for our Writers Cafe had their annual writing contest in the fall, and we had a narrative writing contest and selected three winners. I was one of the judges along with Miss Muller, who's the advisor, and a number of other English teachers. And I just want to say the work was truly, truly beautiful. I mean, the three pieces that we ended up reading, there was one that really shared. It was a young man that was able to look back and reflect on the fact of all of the contributions that his mother made that he never realized as a young man. And actually, his piece was about the turning point of realizing just how great those contributions and her selflessness was. A second piece that was absolutely amazing was from a young lady that her piece was really about physical body type and coming to terms and really being comfortable with yourself and your external self, and it was a beautiful, beautiful piece. And our third piece was written by a young man that I've read his writing a number of different times, and I'm quite sure he's going to become a published author down the road. And his was a piece that really kind of looks back on his own youth, and because of that and the way he was brought up, it's really kind of a prediction as to the future of where he sees his life going. So without further ado, I'd like to give the certificates to the winners. Our first one is for Suanna Chang. Our second is for Kelvin Ortiz. And our third award is for Daniel Vieira. Thank you very much for all your support.
Thank you. Next, I'd like to invite up Dr. Joseph Caldonano, our Matlin Middle School principal.
Good evening, everybody. Happy New Year. On behalf of the administration and our math teachers, I want to recognize two students. 87 students throughout Long Island were named Long Island Young Scholars of Mathematics by the Institute of Creative Problem Solving for Gifted and Talented Students at SUNY Old Westbury. It's the longest title ever. This selection means they are the top 0.1% of math students in their grade island-wide. I want to congratulate Daniel Shemitoff. And I also want to invite and congratulate Ella Ciccoli as well. Thank you.
Thank you, and congratulations. Next, I'd like to invite Mr. Michael Rogers, Director of Music and Performing Arts, to join us.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, community members, and Board of Education. I'd first like to say thank you very much for support of music and performing arts here in Plainview Old Bethpage. And tonight, the fruits of the labors of many, we're able to recognize some really outstanding music students for their recognition and their participation in the All-State Ensembles and the All-National Ensembles. So I'd like to start first by recognizing the students who participated in All-State. In the All-State Women's Choir, Chelsea Basedow. In the All-State Women's Choir, Melanie Roth. In the All-State Symphonic Orchestra, playing the viola, Stanley Kim. They're all home practicing. In the All-State Symphony Orchestra, playing the viola, Christopher Shin. In the All-State String Orchestra, playing string bass, Reese Ortenberg. In the All-State Mixed Chorus, Katrina Abing. The All-State Mixed Chorus, Lindsay Brenner. In the All-State Mixed Chorus, Judith Cook. In the All-State Mixed Chorus, Maya Fetterman. In the All-State Mixed Chorus, Jack Gross. In the All-State Mixed Chorus, Miss Michelle Hanshu.
Congratulations.
In the All-State Mixed Chorus, Samantha Harris. The All-State Mixed Chorus, Jake Myers.
Congratulations.
He got up here really fast. In the All-State Mixed Choir, Matthew Orgel. In the All-State Mixed Choir, Jenna Robinson. All-State Wind Ensemble, playing the clarinet, Jungin Lee. In the All-State Symphonic Band, playing the euphonium, Lauren Brandenstein. Playing in the All-State Symphonic Orchestra, playing the trombone, Min Kang Choi. Moving on, we'd like to recognize two students who were selected to be a part of the All-National Ensemble. To enter into the All-National Ensemble, the students have to be considered by video audition first, and then they're selected from students within the 50 states. And this is the highest honor students can be selected to perform with. This year, we are very honored and pleased to have two students who participated in the All-National Mixed Choir in Orlando, Florida at the end of November. First, Matthew Sala.
You're very welcome, Matthew.
And finally, this last participant, if you were at the concert, you heard this, not only was selected to participate in the All-National Mixed Choir, but he was also a featured soloist, which he had to audition at All National in front of an ensemble of 300 some odd students, and he was selected out of all of them to perform a solo at All National. And the lull of woos can start there. Ooh. So we're very proud to recognize Kevin Lynch for his participation in All National's mixed chorus. And on behalf of the music department, we are very proud of all of the students and their hard work and recognize them for their achievement in working with the students to help prepare them for such an honor as All-State and All-National. And thank you to the Board of Education and the administration.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. Amazing accomplishments. Next, I'd like to invite up Ms. Joyce Barry, our Science and Technology Chairperson.
Good evening. Happy New Year.
Can I just ask everyone to stay until all the awards are given?
Almost done.
The last group. Best. We saved the best for
So this year, we're very proud and very fortunate to have three winners of the Siemens Math, Science, and Technology class competition. These are three semifinalists and three distinctly different projects. In the past, we've had teams. These are distinctly different. Our winners are, two of them are going to be in material science and one in chemistry. Our Siemens semifinalists are Ruxin Liu. Come on up.
Congratulations.
Audrey Schein.
Congratulations.
And Kiana Ziadakampur.
I love that name.
Congratulations.
I don't know, but I love that name.
This year we participated in a new competition called the Conrad Challenge. The Conrad Challenge brings together a dynamic community of innovators and entrepreneurs driving a collaborative movement to develop extraordinary and viable solutions to benefit our world in one of five areas: aerospace, aviation, cyber technology and security, energy and the environment, health and nutrition, and a smoke-free world. This annual competition challenges teams to use science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM innovation, as well as entrepreneurship to create a more sustainable world for this and future generations. We are very fortunate and thrilled to have our first semifinalist team, Audrey and Alyssa, are going to have created a short video proposing the use of their silkworm fibers to filter larger water sources. They created a promotional video, won the first round, and now they're writing a business plan and filing it for the provisional patent for the energy and environment area. I'd like to bring up Alyssa Irami and Audrey Schein. And I believe it's due tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And that concludes our student recognition ceremony. And one more time, big shout out to our students and their parents and the teachers and administration. Great job, everyone.
Thank you. We're going to take a 2-minute break so everybody can leave and other people can come in. But congratulations to our amazing students, their families, teachers, and our administrators. Please drive carefully. To come back to the meeting. Hi, John.
Hi, Jonathan.
All right, you want to sit here? Come on up.
Good memories, but we want to do it.
Okay. Well, I still see him, so.
He looks wonderful.
He does.
What's Andy doing? She's still busy.
She's still on a yes, but she's on a sabbatical.
Is she? Four?
That I'm not sure if she's actually doing anything.
And the girls?
The girls are great. The older one is engaged. And, okay, who are we missing? Renelle's over there. Seth is over here. Where's Jody? Anybody know where Jody is?
Maybe the ladies' room.
Excuse me, she's the one who's going to keep us on track.
Oh, I saw you sharing.
That's right.
We're just waiting for one board member. Not you. Okay. You know, I'm glad you noticed that. She said, not me. We're not waiting for her.
Physically present.
Right. Okay, we're now going to move on to the bond update. Rich?
We're lucky it's not Tuesday. So does he have a date? I didn't ask him.
I think they do have a date. Maybe
Plainedge. Yeah.
I bet he's a good teacher.
Okay, this presentation is going to be over by the time the light is already on. So, Happy New Year, everybody. We still continue to do a lot of construction, literally right through the school year. A little bit later in tonight's program, we're just going to spend a few minutes talking about the relocation of offices to the Stratford Road administrative offices, the annex. But this is really a forward-looking brief presentation, just kind of outlining some bids that we either recently awarded or bids that we are going to put before the board and have them consider. So in December, the board was presented with the results of three sets of bids, stage rigging and lighting. That is for three elementary schools, Judy Jacobs, Pasadena, and Old Bethpage. You awarded that in December. We expect that work is actually done during the school year, during the spring. Of the work that's outlined here, that's the only work we really can foresee being done and completed during the school year in such a way that it really does not stop the flow of the school. Other bids that you awarded in December include ADA compliant toilet renovations, bathroom renovations at Judy Jacobs, Pasadena, Old Beth, and the high school. We won't be able to do that work until the summer because we have to take the bathrooms offline. And also ceiling and lighting upgrades, similar to the work we did at POB Middle and Matlin. This past summer, we'll be doing the same at Judy Jacobs, Old Beth, and Pasadena. That obviously is summer work. Today, we are presenting HVAC, the field name for air conditioning, bids for Old Beth and the high school. That work might begin during the school year. We are not confident that we'll be able to put that into use during the school year. The units have to be ordered. There's some very heavy rigging that has to be done to swing those onto the roof. What isn't up there is we're also asking the board to reject a bid tonight for the HVAC at POB Middle School. The five lowest apparent bidders all missed on that bid. They misquoted work, so we can't accept their bids because they did not bid for the right work. So we'll put that out for advertisement later this week, and hopefully we bring that back to the board for approval in February. Auditorium reconstruction at POB Middle, Stratford, and Matlin, we expect to have before you at the next board meeting. That will be work that probably begins in the summer, although we're looking to start Stratford earlier than that because we really can't have Stratford Road and POB Middle School out of commission at the same time. Science room reconstruction, art room reconstruction, science rooms at both middle schools, art room at Matlin. We should have that in front of the board at the next board meeting, and that is summer work also. And that really goes to the things that we were talking about in terms of our facility use during the summer. Because of all the work we'll be doing, the only building we'll really have to use that could be occupied by any kind of instructional program is really right up here in B House, and that's where we expect the summer special ed program to be, and any other ancillary programs would be at Pasadena. The BOCES summer school will be operating at Bethpage High School this summer. Okay, with that, I'm wondering if you have any questions. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. The next topic is to realign attendance zone?
Yes, the Beechwood property, I know some of the residents that will be there, has currently, it's zoned for the Old Beth Page School District, the elementary school. And we are looking at enrollment projections and looking at the capacity of the building, and we are approaching the board to reassign that area to Parkway. It will still be the same middle school and, of course, the high school, but we would like to officially begin to notify the public as these homes are being sold that we're seeking to put that attendance zone to be in Parkway.
Okay, now, since it's not under new business,
not yet,
we're not voting on it.
No, but so we like to put it out there so that...
FYI,
yes.
Thank you.
So we, you know, we will be looking carefully at our, we'll provide some data for you, but we wanted to just signal to the board, because there's no other way to discuss this with the board. You can't do this in executive session. This has to be in public session. So that we're hoping to have that area zoned to Parkway. We believe that that would safely hold the number projected, by the way, was somewhere about 18 to 28 students in that area. So we think that if we zoned for Parkway, Matlin certainly can hold the students in high school, certainly could. That's K through 12, 18 through 28.
Okay, thank
you.
So
we'll come back publicly again, but this is just
so
for the board to...
I know we're beginning our discussion now on that. Sometimes when we begin discussion, it gets out in the community that is a final determination.
Yes.
But when we talk about realigning attendance zones, I know we're talking about the Country Point development, mm-hmm. but we're also talking just about the makeup of our schools in general. And we mentioned this before, at least I know I mentioned it before, but we've alluded to it before. And I think, you know, one of the things that we've done from time to time is ask for an independent group, in this case we used Western Suffolk BOCES, to put together long-range planning studies. And we've done that before, and it informs and guides our decision, gives us as close to empirical data as we can to make decisions to support some of the anecdotal evidence that we have. But Ms. Gira said that, not me.
A lot of strollers.
A lot of strollers. So, you know, I guess the question about, I think there's a twofold concern that I have. One is, obviously, we want to look at the data and the projections. The most recent update we had from our long-range planning study was from last school year. And I think, in terms of JJP being able to absorb, I think that probably makes the most sense. I think the numbers that Dr. Lewis you're talking about is K through 12, so really the amount of kids that we're talking about going is not even a classroom worth.
Right. No.
But a bigger concern that we've highlighted, and I think we should at least start the discussion about, is not so much the enrollment, total enrollment K through 12, but the shift in terms of enrollment. So, I mean, we're talking about whether it's Old Beth or JJP, it feeds into Matlin. But when you look at the study that we have and you look at the difference between the middle schools, there is a huge gap and an ever-increasing gap between Matlin Middle School and POB Middle School. So less concerned from an elementary standpoint, more from a middle school standpoint, that at least based upon these numbers, and these numbers are already a year old, we probably have some better data already, but the gap is projected in the next 8 years to grow to more than almost 140, 150 students difference between the two middle schools. There's already a 60 or 70 student difference as it is. I think we have to start taking a look at the capacity of our buildings to absorb that, and we should have a discussion about how to address that going forward. So I know we're talking about Country Point, and we have to tell those that are purchasing Country Point, but I also think that if we're going to have a discussion about realigning attendance zones, we should have a bigger discussion as well. So at least in the future, again, to begin the discussion,
I don't know where it's going to end. I think we should agenda that as well for sometime this year as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I am concerned. This year we have 10 sections of fifth grade, and we had at POB Middle School, and 10 classes of grade five, and Matlin had 8, and next year we'll have 7. While POB Middle School continues to have 10 sections. So we're looking at a delta of 3 sections on every grade level. With the projection for Parkway next year, they'll have two grade levels with less than 70 students. So will Old Beth Page, while Stratford Road and Pasadena will have over 100 on a grade level. The elementaries have the capacity with the two classrooms that we've added at Pasadena, the two classrooms we're about to add at Old Beth Page, and the two we've added at Parkway. So the issue is not at the elementaries. We've taken care of that.
So it's POB Middle? That's
but POB okay. Middle School, we had to dismantle a computer lab in order to house all the fifth grade at POB Middle School on the same wing. We are currently looking at where those students will be housed for sixth grade, and perhaps looking at dismantling some other structure to be able to keep the sixth grades together. We're also going to be moving the self-contained fifth grade class from POB Middle School over to Matlin. It's not space and also program. But as we begin to look at the two schools, it is a concern that the enrollment on one side of town is very much different from the enrollment on the other side of town. Now, what will happen once people start selling their homes? And I understand that people will be selling them and moving into the Beechwood properties.
Well, Rinnell hopes so.
that will have an impact, perhaps universally throughout the district. But right now, based on what we now know, we really should be looking at that. So I'm going to say we should be prepared to do something in February prior to our budget being solidified, because I don't want to confuse the budget discussion with a discussion such as this. And, you know, any discussion has to be very thoughtful about people are very attached to their
absolutely
to their schools and their attendance zones. So this is one of the reasons I wanted to say something about the Beechwood area before people start becoming attached, so that we would know that area would move to Parkway, and we would be safer doing that. Mm-hmm. But yes, I intend to come back to the board having studied it a little bit more with some suggestions.
So what is the time frame for the Country Point property when we would have to make a decision?
Having noticed that we're going to do it, my thinking is that we would do a formal resolution in February, okay, along with the other recommendations.
Okay.
But we had to notice the public, allow them
right.
time to come,
and comment.
Allow
right.
the Facebook pages to start.
I'll fill you in on
going
that.
In operation. But I hope everybody heard it very clearly that we want to be very thoughtful about this, so that it causes whatever we do will not cause any angst among any parent.
And I also want to say that even though now the elementaries have a little more room
yes,
to accommodate the students, boards looking back always spoke about not wanting, it was always Stratford Road at the time, but
right.
not making one a mega school and, you know, the other ones considerably smaller. So to me, that's still a concern, even though they can accommodate more.
The other piece is, whereas Old Beth Page and Parkway are running at lower class sizes, all the schools are within the board guidelines, so we're not violating it. But more often than not, Pasadena and Stratford Road are running at higher, not that they're violating any class sizes, but that you tend
just
to end
the way
up
the numbers
because
fall,
of the way
right.
the numbers fall.
Agreed. So. Which is why I feel that way.
Yes. So, right.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. So we've begun
somewhere in
our discussion.
Yes.
And now we will go on to the 2018-19 school calendar and 2019-20. Dr. Lewis is going to present them. We don't vote about, in terms of adopting these calendars, until new business, but we will
right.
be discussing.
So we've had several drafts out. one of the drafts actually ended a little earlier in June because we didn't know when the official rating day was going to be for 18-19. 18-19 was a particularly difficult year, depending on where the state would have made the call for rating day. But they made the wise call, which was to give districts some flexibilities. But even with that, we still were, it's a difficult year because September 1 happens to be right up against Labor Day. So up until a week ago, we were presenting a calendar which honored the contracts for both ASDA and PCT. And that calendar would, if we had started on September 1, would have landed us with four days in February. And I just have to say hats off to the PCT and their leadership for allowing us to be able to adopt a calendar that there is an MOA that we have to have signed, but we have verbal agreements that if we brought the teachers in on August 30th, that means that we would have a staff development day on August 30th. School would be officially closed on the 31st, but our students will return to us the day after Labor Day. Seems simple, but it really does give us that flexibility that we needed to be able to have the February break for the 18-19 calendar. We are always going to be challenged when we create a calendar, and it is a yearly event. Basically, there's some volatile, something with volatility, like in the air.
Yeah, my ice cream. Yeah.
Like lemon.
Oh, I just put some hand.
Was it? Okay, no, I can hear it. Something with alcohol. It was an alcohol. Anyway, sorry. Was that it?
I said Lysol.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you,
Barbara. No, because it had to, because it spread. Anyway, never mind. So let me go back, because I want everyone to hear this, because it's really important. Every year we're going to be challenged, because every year brings a different way that our days that we have to be off will fall. And so I, in fact, looked at 5 years worth of calendars between all the way out to 2023, I think, because I wanted to look at and also presented it to the state to kind of say to them, these are going to be our challenge years. We need for you to give us some flexibilities. So so for this year, we got the 3 days from the state. We got the day from the PCT, which allows us to present a calendar that I think meets our needs. We also, next year, I think logically, the rating day, you can predict the rating day because it can't be on the 19th, so it has to be on the 26th. So because of that, I wanted to signal to the community what that calendar would look like and ask the board to adopt both the 19-20 and the 18-19 calendar. But again, these are yearly challenges, and we will visit them every year, and we'll accommodate what we can. I just want some questions that came up. Graduation. We have already secured the Tillis Center because we kind of knew what was going to happen on the rating day. So graduation will occur the same as the date it has always, which is it will occur on the 9th, the 23rd. So that means that we will have graduation on the 23rd. For those who may be going to camp or, you know, are not involved in the Regents, we will also be doing all our moving up ceremonies the week of the 17th to the 21st. So we're trying to meet the needs of everyone.
Which is not easy.
Which is not easy, but we believe it's a giant step forward.
Okay, any further discussion on the calendars? What did she say?
She says
camp,
thank you.
Camp. Okay, we're all good?
Yeah.
Okay. I, too, would like to echo Dr. Lewis's thank you and thank the PCT for helping us with the calendar. Now we're going to go on to the POB Administrative Annex. Rich.
Okay, this is more of a brief announcement about the POB Administrative Annex that's going to be relocated over Stratford Road. We are going to have some offices moving over there next week. PPS, which is currently right over here behind the boardroom, is going to be moving on January 17th to their new offices in what had formerly been the 300 wing at Stratford Road. So just to set people up, if we go over here to the right of the slide, this is where students go into the building. That's the main entrance. The administrative office entrance will be down the sidewalk. Over here, there's a door. Students come out right now for dismissal. They'll still be able to come out for dismissal that way if that's the way the building administration chooses to send the kids out the building. PPS will be opening next week, right? So they're kind of in the center of the hallway. If visitors come, they'll come to the new entrance. There's a buzzer system, very similar to the one that's here at administrative offices now. Buzz the office, and they'll visit the office that they're going to visit. Most of the things that happen there, such as annual reviews and things like that, will be happening in conference rooms in what had been a former art room. And there's a waiting room here, so visitors will be directed to a waiting room, and then they'll be guided to the conference room or wherever they're going. A little bit later in the month, probably January 31st, our IT staff will be moving over. All right, so we're moving over in stages. They will be, once again, you buzz in, and they are all the way down here at the end of the hall. Right here is a set of doors, all right, just to give you an orientation. This is the front of the Stratford Road Auditorium. But if you're coming to CIT, you won't be able to come in this way. You have to buzz in, all right, and visit your office. And then during the February recess, we should be moving athletics and also childcare, which has this space back here, you know, for the employees and visitors. For those people who are using the private school book room, books start getting returned in June. There is actually going to be a book room that's on the other side of the computer lab up here. It has a separate entrance for visitors, so people will be able to drop their books off. And then when we get back in August, private school families can pick up their books using that separate entrance into the book room over here. So in summarizing, PPS is opening on the 17th at Stratford Road. IT will move on or about the 31st. Athletics and child care and adult ed will be moving during the February recess. Any questions?
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to go in. Oh, go ahead.
Before you go on. The Stratford Road staff has already started practicing a different exit so that before this starts going out there, No, they will not be intermingling with the public. They will be separate exits for Stratford Road.
Thank you. Can somebody turn the light on? That's okay. It is your job, but thank you. We're going to go into public participation. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process, or those of others could in some way be violated. As a reminder, an audio recording of this meeting, including public participation, is being made and will be posted on the district's website. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. We thank you in advance for being respectful of all speakers and staff members. The floor is now open.
Massa Mascarelli, 73 Minetto Hill Road. Good evening, everyone. I'd just like to say a big thank you to all the board members and Dr. Lorna Lewis and the teachers' union and all the teachers for really trying very hard and trying to put this holiday on the calendar for us and standing up and voting in favor for it. It really means a lot to us. Thank you. Thank you very much. I know how much what it takes and how much all of you have worked so hard for this. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Jonathan thinks every change.
Oh, Mr. Mosenson.
Do we need to reset the clock?
As a former board member, I'm not even going to say anything about that.
All right, thank you. Jonathan Mosenson, 9 Ruth Road. I'm going to just read a prepared statement first. I'm here tonight as the area coordinator for the New York State Association of Family Consumer Science Educators, as well as the president of the Long Island Family Consumer Science Professionals Organization, and we represent over 200 FACS teachers across the island. I had the opportunity to review your proposed changes to the middle school program as well as listen to your board report and discussion on these changes. A little background first. It was our organization that led the way for the new changes in how CTE is to be delivered. Understanding the constraints facing districts regarding staffing, scheduling, and the need to link middle-level education to the high school pathways, we came up with the changes that are now mandated by New York State. That being that middle school children would now receive 1 3/4 credits of CTE, whether it be through FACS, Tech Ed, Business Ed, Ag Ed, Health Sciences, and Trade and Technical Ed. We also developed the new curricular framework for all 6 of these CT areas, along with the new FACS curriculum that's going to be coming out this June. In your proposal, you're potentially eliminating a half a credit of FACS education in lieu of additional technology education through keyboarding, codesters, and music tech. You also mentioned words such as program continuity, STEAM, and 21st century skills. I can't think of a better place to teach all of these skills in the FACS classroom. When looking at the offerings at the high school, we have a comprehensive FACS program. Where's the continuity if your middle school students are now only exposed to a quarter credit of family and consumer science through the home and career skills curriculum? As far as the 21st century skills in STEM, STEAM, and now STREAM, the FACS classroom is STEM. We use project-based learning and apply it to real-world applications. We teach the soft skills such as teamwork, leadership, and time management in our career, entrepreneurship, and family connections unit. We teach creative problem solving in our consumer and consumer management. We teach curiosity and imagination in human development. We teach communication of interpersonal relationship unit. We teach math skills in our financial literacy, and we teach science skills in our food and nutrition unit. You ever wonder how cheese is made? Chemical reactions, food science. That's STEAM, and we teach it. We take everything learned in every other curricular area and give kids the answer to their question, why do we need to know this? You've all seen today's hot topics and programs come and go. We could list a million of them. What doesn't come and go are the topics that we teach in FACTS. Families, relationships, communication, consumerism, financial literacy, and nutrition and wellness. These essential life topics cannot be taught in a 10-week block. Not bad.
John, that was really good.
Not bad.
And time management.
Okay. I know my time is up, but I did just want to leave with a couple of questions, because I know you're not discussing this tonight.
Right.
But based on your report, that from what I can discern, you have a number of students that are not meeting the 1 3/4 credit mandate, even with your new options and flexibility with the 8th grade. It looks like anybody taking art, your studio art, is not getting 1 3/4. You're doing one credit in grades 5, 6, and 7 between FACTS and Tech. And then they have the option, depending on what science they're taking and what art they're taking. Some kids are only getting another half credit. Some kids are not getting anything else. Your earth science students who are taking studio art for the full year have no option for any additional CTE. And I can say, and I'm going to leave this with you, and I can email Jill.
That would be great.
Okay.
Jill, maybe you can then get in contact with John. And
And then lastly, I heard your recording of your when you actually discussed it. And there were comments made. I just want to clarify. CTE, however you're going to structure it, has to be taught by a certified teacher in that area. You can't have a tech teacher teaching FACTS. You can't have a FACTS, even though we're all under CTE. So if you're looking for codesters, keyboarding, if they're going to be considered tech, they have to be taught by a tech ed teacher, not an instructional technology certified teacher, but a technology education certified teacher. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Nina, you might want to get John. By the way, when he was a board member, he wasn't quite talking like that. But next.
It's not made for short people. Vertically challenged. Anuraj, 133 Manor Street. Good evening, Dr. Lewis, administrators, board members, and the representative of teachers. Thank you for proposing a calendar where Diwali is a holiday for our kids. And I'm hoping that in the future calendars, maybe we'll find a way to give the teachers a day off too for Diwali. And I appreciate all the hard work you guys did in it. And I appreciate all of you calling me back in the middle of the snowstorm and all the emails that I got the replies for. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jacques Wolfner, 151 Sutton Drive, Plainview. First of all, let me wish everyone a happy and a healthy new year. And I have the privilege this week of representing the board at the BOCES Budget Study Committee. I believe I have shared my questions with the board, and I haven't heard any other questions from the board. If you do have any questions.
When's the meeting, Chuck?
The meeting's Thursday. Is it Wednesday or Thursday night?
Okay.
Thursday. This week. The,
okay.
What is it, the 10th? Yeah, the 10th. I expect to be there.
Oh, I'm sure you will. I was just thinking if anybody had questions, they could get it to you before then.
Yeah. Well, you have my email.
Absolutely.
And I also shared the budget with everyone. And I'll share my analysis of the budget when it's done.
Terrific.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Jacques.
Good evening, Dr. Lewis, distinguished members of the board, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rebecca Davis, 26 Birch Lane, Plainview. Currently, I have two children at Matlin Middle School, grades 7 and 8. As a parent, I was disheartened to discover the board's middle school proposal to reduce a child's exposure, even to the slightest degree, to music, art, health, and facts to make room for tech and keyboarding. I truly believe the last thing in the world our kids need is more screen time, turning themselves inward and away from vital, imaginative interaction with others, which is so desperately needed at this age. It means less available time for class discussions to express themselves through the art they're creating or the music that they're playing. Practice in art and music is a crucial outlet to help ease daily stress. The life skills, independence, and confidence that children learn through facts is paramount to facilitating self-discovery, paving the way for them to become confident, responsible, self-aware adults. For the middle school brain, important intellectual developments are emerging. Preteens are shifting from concrete to abstract thinking and metacognition. They're developing skills in deductive reasoning and problem solving. How can they do this successfully without the confidence-building skills that these classes provide? Additionally, I truly believe removing health from eighth grade is a grave mistake. This is the year of unsupervised parties, possible sexual experimentation, or temptations with drugs and alcohol. It's difficult enough to navigate new teenage years while trying to deal with fluctuating hormones, drama, social media, etc. For the high school, the current proposal with respect to changing or dropping a course, what the district is offering is not an adequate amount of time for a child to truly develop an understanding of the class and what is expected of them. What feels realistic is to follow in the footsteps of the Roslyn School District with their freshman forgiveness program, where the first quarter grade is not used to calculate the first semester average. If the grade for the second marking period is higher, the second quarter grade then replaces the first. In addition, lunch should not be viewed as an irrelevant time waster or be offered as an option. We need to present our kids with realistic expectations and let them refuel and reflect with an opportunity to hit the midday reset button. The kids are running on empty as it is, up late studying, rising early, some skip breakfast entirely. Eating during class doesn't provide them the social element and the importance of relaxing their brain, vital for social and emotional well-balance. New York State labor laws recognize the workforce's need for a mandatory meal break every day. The same should be afforded to our children. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm very glad.
I just checked my calendar. It's tomorrow night.
Oh, okay.
Well, anybody who has any comments, get them to Jacques. Seeing no other speakers, public participation.
Sorry, I was running a little late. Good evening, board. I was picking up my little one at the play practice at POB, so if I say something that you've covered already, I apologize.
Could you give your name?
I'm Scott Karp, and I live at 22 Garnet Lane. I have three children in district, one who's a senior, one who's a ninth grader, and one who's a fifth grader. I'm concerned because I'm hearing that they're talking in the high school now about limiting the time before you can change classes for a level change. And as a teacher myself and a parent, I'm very concerned that that doesn't give children the opportunity to really give the class a chance that they are in. I saw that firsthand with my daughter, who's a senior. When she was in 10th grade, she was in honors chemistry, and she gave it a try and a try and again, and she went to all the extra help she could, and it was not an easy decision for her to step down. But I'm glad she had the opportunity to stick it out as long as she did. I don't think that a child could, in I think it's 25 days, determine whether he or she should stick with the class. It's a very small amount of time. But like I said, I'm a teacher myself. It's my 29th year teaching, so I think I know a little bit about those kinds of things. I'd rather our children have a longer chance to try with the class before they determine to switch down or switch up. And that's all I've got.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, now seeing no other speakers, public participation is now closed. Thank you for your input. Can I have a motion to approve routine business? Lauren, second. Seth, any hold separations or discussion? All those in favor? Thank you. We're going to go on to new business. Can I get a motion on the adoption of the 2008
18-19 school calendar. Ginger, second. Rennell, any discussion? All those in favor? Can I get a motion on the adoption of the 2019-2020 school calendar? Seth, second. Jody, all those in favor? Okay. Now can I get a motion to enter into executive session for the purposes of discussing the employment history of particular staff members? Rennell, second. Lauren, all those in favor? Thank you. Please drive home very carefully.